Welcome to Spirit Healer, a Hearthstone Mercenaries podcast. Your resting point between quests. Let's join our hosts as we talk about this week's events in Hearthstone Mercenaries.
All right. Welcome to Spirit Healer, a Hearthstone Mercenaries podcast, a podcast focused on taking you through Mercenaries news, updates, and weekly topics to keep you at the top of your Mercenaries game. I'm Dragon Rider, joined today by Simba. Unfortunately, Cinder couldn't make it this week, but hopefully he'll be back next week. But for now, you know, Simba and I, we're gonna take care of you and walk you through all of the new stuff that came out. But how are you doing today, Simba?
I'm great. How are you? I was really hoping that it was gonna be like Simba and Simba, and I'd be like, "Yes, thank you, yes, thank you." No, thank you very much. Yes, we're both so happy to be here, and it's like just me. But yeah, we're having a good day. It's been a good time.
Missed opportunity on my end. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It was. I thought of it like as we were snapping, and I was like, "We're just gonna roll. We're just gonna roll with it because we're the only two here." But
that's right.
Yeah.
Well, we've had some stuff happen. We kind of have shared news like over the last couple of weeks, right? We all knew new expansions coming, but there's even more. There's a whole bunch of stuff, including some mercenary stuff. So we'll have the patch note link, but we did get a patch. It was announced, and then it actually came out yesterday as of this recording. So we're recording on Wednesday, December 1st. It's already December. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, everything's just going by so fast, but that's okay, though, right? We're getting a lot of new content. It's just now getting actually cold for me, and usually it's freezing by now. So am I surprised it's December 1st? Yes, because yesterday was March 2020. So, you know, that's good, but...
yeah, exactly. Isn't it supposed to be like January of 21 maybe now? I don't know.
Yeah, that's about where we're at, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yes. You're absolutely right. That is one thing. And like you said, there's been so much content. Like there's been so many frequent things that they're putting out and doing. Like, and the fact that they're putting all of this out while basically everybody is still working from home, right? There's all these things going on. You know, we've talked about on the show, like behind the scenes at Activision Blizzard, there's all this stuff, and they're still just like cranking out all this content. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, so I play Hearthstone, I play a bunch of other games. I'm sure everybody else, you know, plays at least a couple other games or, you know, watches anime, does stuff. There's so much stuff that's coming out, specifically in Hearthstone, but even in other games that, like, I like Battlegrounds. I do enjoy Battlegrounds. I don't play Battlegrounds all the time, but, like, I didn't even get to play with or against Diablo. Like, I totally missed the Diablo event, which on one hand is like a mini sad, like, oh, I didn't. But like, that just speaks to how much stuff is coming out. Like, to keep up with two drops of Mercenaries, an entire new set that's going to be dropping next week for the standard game mode, all the bug fixes in the Mercenary game mode. Apparently, there's new heroes in Battlegrounds besides the Diablo that I haven't seen. There's a ton.
Oh, I know. I've been more focused on trying. I mean, obviously, we're doing this podcast, so we're probably a little more focused on Mercenaries than like the average person. But yeah, I definitely have put BGs on kind of the back burner for a while. And yeah, I'm with you. I'm like, I'm looking through the shop the other day, going, "Oh my god, look at all this stuff for Battlegrounds! Like, look at all these skins and all this stuff and." I don't know. I don't even know. So I'm like, who is that character? What does this mean? What are these things?
Yeah, I mean, skins on top of that. I mean, something that we probably weren't going to talk about, it'll take me all of 3 seconds to say, is like there's now board cosmetics for Battlegrounds as well, like on top of just like character skin cosmetic. Like, I mean, and that's super cool too. But I was like, I get to buy what? A board? And I was like, that can't be real, right? The standard board just like swaps all the time. I was like, oh, it's for Battlegrounds. Oh.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And that's like big news because that's a new thing. I was looking at that too and I was like, oh yeah, Battlegrounds didn't have that. I'm so used to it from standard. I'm a spoiled standard player.
Yeah, I was like, I just click things and stuff happens all the time. Like,
yeah, right. Oh my god. Well, let's talk about some of those things that have come out. And One of the things that I did want to mention is if you look at the patch notes, there was kind of this thing when they first announced the expansion that was that's going to be coming out, right? Fractured in Alterac Valley. Mm-hmm. And they announced the Horde versus Alliance thing. And you log in and you pick either the Horde or Alliance legendary. Then when this expansion launched, they were going to do the honor system thing where, you know, per wins and games you played, you can build up honor. That actually started early. They actually started that today. But unfortunately, for those of us playing mercenaries, even in PvP, does not count towards that honor system. It looked like it was only standard. Let me actually read. I think I still have it up here.
If not, we can find it quickly.
Yeah, it was not all of the game modes. Duels was included.
Okay.
Which I was kind of surprised. I was like, all right. But it's not going to include missionaries, which I kind of understand. But at the same time, I was a little sad. So I'm like, at least I feel like PvP should count. But I don't know. It's ranked, arena, and duels. Being either wild or standard.
And the way that I'm understanding it is we all picked one. We all picked one faction. The more that you use the one that you picked, the closer you get to gaining a copy of the card that you did not choose. And then afterwards, the faction that wins will mean that that card will be turned diamond. Not turned diamond, but everybody will get a diamond copy of that card. Everybody.
Yeah, yeah. So when you first logged in, if you haven't already, you'll get the choice between the Horde legendary and the Alliance legendary. You pick one, and then that's which faction you're fighting as, basically. So you get that legendary to start. That was that Drekthar and Vandar that we picked a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, now basically that's the faction that you are repping. And when you go into like a ranked game, you'll actually see the little Horde or Alliance thing instead of whatever rank you are.
That's a cool thing that they've added.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty fun. There's some rivalries already been going on in like stream chats and stuff. Yeah. We'll see. But I just wanted to, you know, make sure that everybody knew. Unfortunately, mercenaries, even PvP mercenaries, is not part of this. So if you're grinding that and you're like, I'm not showing this, you know, honor, then that's why it's not included. But speaking of PvP, we did get our first official monthly reset.
Yeah, so everything is zeroed out, completely cleared out. Doesn't matter what you did, you are now nothing. I'm just kidding. You're amazing. But yeah, so rating is zero. It's reset all the chests and stuff. Is this the first reset or the second reset?
I think it's the first one because it came out partway through October, the mode launched, and then they didn't do one for November because they wanted to give people time to actually play and see what was going on before it just reset.
Okay, that makes sense. And so that means that you get all of the rewards on the reward track immediately then? Because I was thinking about it. I was like, when I clicked in, I didn't like open a chest or anything, but I also hadn't played a bunch of PvP for the majority of that month. So I was like, oh, so when you hit like 1,000 rating, you're just going to get those rewards, yeah?
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting because they're doing them as you hit that rating and not like standard where at the start of the new month you open last month's chest and get all the stuff at once. You get it as you hit the rating.
That is not only amazing but enticing. It's really good for this game mode specifically. I hadn't considered it, but like say you need another, I don't know, 50 coins for one mercenary for a final ability or equipment or something, you could actually get that and it might help you you know, rise through the ranks faster if you were starting to hit a plateau. So that's really cool.
Yeah. And you mentioned right before we started recording, you had a fun PvP warband you wanted to talk about.
So I keep flipping through all my pages and going, ah, look, this one's level one and this one's level one and this one's level one. I feel like I have nothing upgraded, but I do have a warband that does not use Samuro that I've found fun. It's not really anything that's like a Frost comp or an Arcane comp or anything like that. But the first three that I throw out are Varden Dawngrass, and all of these are level 30. Varden Tavish and Cariel. And I just thought Tavish was super cool, so I was like, let me find a way to that I can use Tavish in comp and have a little bit of fun. It was still doing pretty well up around like the 4,000 ratings. And the idea or the goal is just slow everything down, stack a bunch of traps with Tavish, and or try to get the aimed shot to deal like 40 damage to a caster, because that's always funny when they can't get through your carry out.
God.
You just smack them, you know, 2-3 times, and it's like, oh, there's 120 damage, bye-bye. And so there's two cool things about that opening. One is that they're going to want to kill your carry out. That way they can actually break through if they have mercenaries that attack. But secondly, they're going to want to kill your Varden, like, a lot. Because if they don't kill the Varden, I wouldn't say Varden is 100% a one-button mercenary, but you're just going to flurry him. And it's just going to make them so slow, and they're not going to be able to do anything. So they're going to want to kill Varden. But your Varden Dawngrasp is going to be holding the Chilling Amulet. So it does 2 damage to all enemies when Varden dies, but it also freezes a random enemy until the end of the next turn. And so that's super awesome. It gives you a chance to throw out another mercenary and have the initiative. Huge initiative. Like, it's just continue slow. And then my back end, I think the back end 3 mercenaries can be totally tossed around. I have Karen, Diablo, and Zyrella, which they're just still 3 of the strongest ones, and I know that, and I am aware. And it doesn't really have a, like, 100% what you throw out fourth. Sometimes I'll throw out Diablo if I'm facing a bunch of casters. Other times I'll throw out Karen to try to get Tavish's marked shot to go off again for another 40, maybe, right? Instead of 20, or having to stack another explosive trap. But I am using the rigged wiring. That's why I keep saying stacked, because the traps will stay. And I mean, the last 3 are pretty self-explanatory. Zyrella, if you need to, you know, finally kill a Samuro. Karen, if you just want to speed up Tavish a little bit. And I've been having a lot of fun with it, because it's not, like I said, it's not top tier, but sometimes that's kind of what I'm looking for, right? I just want to go in and have fun. It's supposed to be sweating all the time.
Yes. I don't even know if I should say this. Oh, there's only one time that it's okay to be sweaty. And while playing PvP mercenaries, it is not it.
I'm screaming. Wipe it off. No. You're talking about at the gym in the sauna, right?
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's
yes.
what I thought.
Yes,
mm-hmm. That's
clearly,
what I thought. That's the only time.
That's right. And then after you're done with that workout, you can treat yourself to your coffee or whatever it is.
Exactly.
But, you know... Yes.
Mm-hmm, yeah, we're on the same page. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have some other stuff on this list, though.
Yes. My husband just looked at me over the top of the computer and shook his head.
Just peers over. I know, like, you're not talking about what I think you're talking about over there. Talking about mercenaries and working out? Okay. All
right. That's right. Oh, yes. Well, you know, okay. Talking about some different things. Change gears here. You and I both noticed playing today that there has been a couple of different kind of UI and like quality of life changes, I suppose we can call them. They have kind of 2 big things that we noticed, right? One is that the mercenary levels now show next to their name on the parties.
Yeah, whenever you click one of your warbands. It's removed like the photos, and now it just has name and level. It looks really clean.
Yeah, it does. And it's nice too, because like I didn't play for like a week and a half when I was really focused on getting ready for casting the Masters Tour.
Of course, yeah.
And so then after I was done with that, I was like, okay, cool, I can play some mercenaries again. And I logged back in and I was like, what do I have in here? Like some of my parties, like, I mean, some of them are just called Party 1, Party 2. Some of them I name, but I'm like, what do I have in here? Am I leveling stuff? And then like I'd go to play like PvP and I'm like, oh shoot, this guy is only like level 21. That's I don't remember what I was doing. So like just visually being able to see that you have that level there is super helpful. I feel like that's nice.
Yeah, it is for pretty much the exact reason. So, like, I have a couple comps that are set up just for farming experience or coins or something like that. And so sometimes I'll forget what level the mercenaries that I had in there that I wanted to level up are, right? Because if I'm starting with, like the one that I use most often is the Baron Geddon Ragnaros Antonidas, where you just go in and fire blast literally everything to hell.
And so like right now I can see that I have Brewcon at level 28, Millhouse at 28, and Cookie at 21, and those are the ones I'm leveling up. But there were times before where I'd be like, all right, I'm on Mercenaries today. I'd hop in there with my farm comp and literally everything would be level 30. And I'd be like, well, this is awkward because the only reason I'm playing this specific bounty right now is to get Mercenaries experience. F.
Yeah. And then it feels like you just wasted time. But before you even like lock in the party, you can get that quick, you know, you can see, okay, those are all 30s. Cool, I'm good to go. Or okay, yeah, I'm taking this group with three level 30s and three level 1s into PvP. I can see that, I'm good to go, which is just, it's very nice. And the other thing that really looks nice is for both the PvP chests and then you said the bounties as well, like, right, the bounty rewards.
Yeah.
Instead of it just being like a little wooden chest box thing, it now looks like it's like a leather satchel type packaging, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know how to describe it.
I mean, that's pretty much what it looks like, unless you want to call it like a loaf of bread with an envelope front. Like, it does, it looks like a nice full satchel, and like the chest pops open and they pop out, because it has the same animation as like packs, right? When you click a pack for standard, it opens up and it shoots the five cards out. I mean, it did it that way in Mercenaries too, right? But now it shoots out five satchels and I get to click all the satchels and they look super cute. I don't know why I think they look super cute, but they do. Maybe it's because they're full. Like, they're very, I don't know what the word is, but it just looks like I want to squish it. Robust satchels. Yep, that's what we're going to go with. Very robust satchels that give me my rewards now, and I am satisfied with that.
Okay. I don't know if this is the direction they're going, but if anybody listens to this that can get in touch with like the product team, we need a big plush satchel thing. I just want to hold and squeeze this like treasure satchel plushie or pillow. I want it.
That would be a great pillow. If we get a satchel, I need a trog. Somebody get me a trog, please.
That's right. We need more plushies and stuff. Yes.
Yes. Literally. Just, I wouldn't say immediately, because it probably was not on the list of things to do, right? Like, that just, plushes weren't on there. But if they could now be on there.
Right. Exactly.
That would, well, that'd be dope.
They, when you go to open it, too, there's actually, like, a little animation, right? They kind of move around a little bit. So it's just very, again, like a very nice visual UI kind of update that they did. It looks very clean. It's very unique, more for Mercenaries, and makes it like, oh yeah, okay, I'm playing this other game mode.
Yeah, I agree. It's like I said, I know I keep saying it's super clean, but it really is. It just, not much changes besides like, you know, boards and like the card backs and card packs, because those are going to keep changing. But like stuff that we see all the time, that's pretty standard. So satchels changing, that was really nice. So we're gonna get those for Christmas, right? We get a plushy satchel and a plushy iron deep trog. It doesn't even have to be a plushy. It could be like one of those little bobblehead things. I'd be okay with that. That'd be cool.
Sorry, you heard it. Simba needs it.
Yes, iron deep trog, one or two. I can do a giveaway. I'll give one away. I would love to give one away. That'd be great. But I would like one.
That's right. Well, okay, actually, let's jump ahead a little bit then, slightly ahead. Now that you talk about that, something really cool that we got to do as a show, it wasn't a giveaway really, but we got to reveal full card art for one of the four new mercenaries that was revealed and announced in this patch. That was super cool.
It was amazing. I opened up my Twitter one day and I was like, oh, I know that person. There's actually a -5% chance that they just DM'd me on Twitter. So let me open that and see what that's about. And I was like, business, cool. And I was like, you want to give us art? That's amazing. What do I get to do with it? We get to release it early? And it's super cool. Like, we got to, I mean, tag Alkali and the artist. And the art was also, like, super amazing. Not that anybody's putting out bad art right now, but I was taken back. I was like, this is so cool.
Yeah, and so if you're wondering, like, what do you mean by full art? So when you go into the hero screens and you see the different, you know, like the three different art options, you know, the for each mercenary, those three pieces, but like the full thing, not cropped to fit inside, you know, the little screen for each of those, but the full art piece. And we got to reveal that for Vanessa Van Cleef, which we will talk about in a few minutes. But yeah, thank you again to Alkali and just Blizzard altogether for being able to give those to us to reveal, because that was super awesome. Yeah, our Twitter inboxes started blowing up and we're like, oh, okay. So, you know, the three of us like put our heads together and kind of worked on what we wanted the tweets to say and reveal. And it was just a really cool thing.
Oh, super fun. I know that like probably you and Cinder are deeper into the community than I am. So like wasn't as surprised, but like I clicked on the message in Twitter and I was like, this is a fake account. I need to report this to Twitter right now. Like, oh, no. It was that. You know, like, you know what I mean? I didn't do it. Right. But, like, I've seen that name around for so long while I was just been, you know, piddling around, tossing cards on the deck, you know. Happy I got legendary or legend rank 1 month. And I was like, oh, God. She, like, works for... This is... Yeah. We've made it.
That's right. Welcome to the crew.
Gang.
You're official. Yes. So also, you know, thank you to everybody that that followed us on Twitter and checked that out as well. And if you are new here, welcome. We hope you're enjoying the show. And let's talk about some new mercenaries, shall we? Because we got, so they're doing this a little interestingly, and here's why. So three of the four new mercenaries that they talk about in this patch are already out. They came out with this patch launch. The other one, which is that Vanessa Van Cleef, which we got to show the art for, she will launch on December 7th. And that's because she's actually going to be, you get her for free as part of the reward track. When the new reward track comes out for Alterac Valley, you can open that up and she'll be there available for you to get right away. So she's coming out with that. But we have a couple other ones that are out now. We're going to start with Valera Sanguinar. She is a legendary fighter, so legendary green. And this is interesting. She's actually marked as a blood elf. So, you know, we've got goblins, we've got murlocs and beasts, and now she's a blood elf. At max stat, she's going to be a 1373. A 13 attack, 73 health. And let's run through her abilities real quick. She's got Sinister Strike, a speed 3, gain plus 10 attack this turn, and attack the lowest health enemy. Combo, gain stealth, and then an ambush, speed of 6, deal 10 damage. If this merc was stealth, deal 25 instead. And then Fan of Knives at the 5, speed of 7, deal 7 damage to all enemies. Your other mercs are 3 speed faster next turn. So she's got a lot of, like, speed stuff, and the stealth thing is really cool. I was playing with her today, and the stealth, even like at lower levels, not even like the maxed 5, she can get the stealth pretty easily. I feel like
these are nutty combined. They're really good. I think this is going to push Karen, not that Karen needs a push, but like super hard into some of these comps. Because if you I don't even know how to explain this. If you get the Sinister Strike off, then the ambush off, and then you use Karen to buff the speed of the Phantom Knives right back into a Sinister Strike, because then you're faster, and then Karen can make stuff slower. That's just gonna be hell. This is super fun. But I do think she's fairly balanced, because Sinister Strike is speed 3, and then you start getting into way higher speeds with the 6 and 7 for the ambush. So it does give your opponent to like time to react beforehand, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I mean, speed 3 and it having to be a combo for you to get the stealth, like, that means you do have to have something that's faster than the speed 3, so, like, she can't be your fastest thing if you want to get that stealth.
Yeah, it'll have to be...
So there's that little bit.
It'll have to be comboed with, like queue up Zyrella first, or, like, you're playing Cookie. That could do it. I don't have a ton of others off top, but that is a great point, that because it's a combo for the stealth, making it so fast is not as overpowered as it might sound. because sure, it'll make her, you know, a 2373, but she still has to pay attention to taunts, you know, and so she's not going to do double damage to protectors. And it's not just like every ability that you have is going to activate that combo.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will note, too, that I do wonder how much people are going to play this in PvP. Obviously, these are brand new, so we're going to kind of probably see people maybe trying them out a little bit more over the next at least handful of days, I would guess. But in PvE, if you're just doing a bouncy or something, if you can put her out on the board and one of your other mercs has like those passives that make their abilities faster, that's a good way to actually combo to get the stealth for like the PvE stuff. So you can make your Zyrella or, you know, something else like where you actually get it as a speed one or two. So you're pretty much guaranteed to get the stealth if you use that Sinister Strike, which is pretty nice because then you can kind of at least try to protect her a little bit, or you're going to actually get to do some extra damage with that ambush the next turn. So yeah, she's got some uses.
Yeah. Two things before we go to the equipment. I would like to amend my statement before about how she doesn't, like, how she still has to, you know, work with taunts, because for Sinister Strike, it simply attacks the lowest health enemy. Like, I knew that and you read that, but it didn't register when I was talking about it. So if the protector is not the lowest health enemy, that doesn't matter. That being said, you do have to be aware of what the lowest health mercenary is, as well as where your other attacks are going, right? Because if you have a plan for it to hit a caster and then you deal 37 damage to the protector, like, it changes who Valyra attacks. Or if they have like healing, for example, that also would change who Valyra attacks. So you can sort of try to, you know, force it to go where you want it to, but also there's a realm of unknown there of where your Valyra is going to attack.
Yeah, agreed. So let's talk about the equipment real quick then. So the first one is Hidden Paths, and these are all going to be maxed out. So it's a passive: whenever a friendly character loses stealth, give them +6 attack. That's mighty nice. Shadow Dagger is the second one. Ambush is 3 speed faster and gains Death Blow, gains stealth. And ambush is that second one that deals damage and extra damage if it was stealthed. And then the fourth equipment is Unnatural Smoke, another passive. While this merc has stealth, friendly characters are 4 speed faster.
This character's broken.
What?
Broken.
It's so good.
That's insane.
It seems so good.
Wow. I don't even know which one I'd want to use. Definitely not Hidden Paths. I mean, like, there are uses for Hidden Paths. That's probably more of a PvE equipment. Ambush being 3 speed faster and Death Blow gain stealth means you can, like, none of these have cooldowns, so you can just ambush for 2 over and over and over. You have to get the death blow, but you could just keep, you know, hitting that death blow. It's probably Unnatural Smoke is going to be the go-to, though.
Yeah, I like that that logic track there. I agree. I mean, but friendly characters just getting faster speed, I mean, we talked about how you could fairly easily get the stealth. I mean, I don't know though, like, that's just so much speed. And if you use the Fan of Knives and you have Unnatural Smoke, I mean, it's a lot. That's a lot of speed, and we've talked about how important the speed is. So I'm really curious to see how she works.
As soon as I give Valyra into 30, I probably won't have her max for a while, but I think in my brain I have Cariel 1 speed taunt into Sinister Strike, which should give me stealth, into Fan of Knives. No. Is that correct? Yes. Into Fan of Knives, which is now going to cost 3? Or 3 speed? It won't cost, but it'll be speed 3. And then I can just decide what the heck I want to do after that. But it's already going to boost everything 3 speed faster for the turn after that. I don't even, like, that's going to be crazy. Ooh, question. If I were to use Sinister Strike for 0 and become unstealthed, does that mean that the speed of my other two mercenaries would drop if they had an attack slower? Or is it 4 speed faster for that turn regardless?
Well, if you're for Unnatural Smoke, I mean, it says while this merc has stealth, so I would assume that as soon as it loses stealth, those speed boosts go away. I just don't know how that works with, like, the queuing up your stuff.
I was going to say, that's interesting for their engine calculation. I mean, we have probably have amazing coders, but that's super interesting, because you could go from having something that could wipe a board to Valera attacking first and your other two mercenaries going back to, you know, like a 7-speed and an 8-speed attack and being so far behind.
Yeah, that is kind of interesting, because then you almost might want to, if you're using her for that speed effect for your other mercenaries, you almost might not even want to attack with her.
That's true, because that is an option, right? Just to
keep her stealthed for, because I think she'll lose stealth as soon as she attacks, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you could just not attack with her and then keep those, but you're having to choose between potentially extra damage that you want to put with her or the stealth and speed. So, interesting.
Yeah, this mercenary makes me happy for PvP because of, I've been watching a lot of chess lately, but accurate play, like supremely accurate play. Like, you could have many situations that are lost or won based on attacking, not attacking, what attack you use, you know, and you have to be aware of if they're going to heal or not, because then it'll change where the Sinister Strike goes. So this mercenary is, I think it's awesome, and at least seemingly very balanced.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited to really test her out a lot more and get all the equipment for her and get to try them. But would you like to walk us through our next one?
Sky Admiral Rogers. Sky Admiral Rogers is going to be a cool one. Kev's under the human tag, which I'd say obviously, but who knows what they're going to mark things in the future, right? So is a human, an epic caster at that. Max stats are going to be 1176. So I think that's fairly high on the health side. Like, that's decent health. Not too much on the attack side, but again, it's a caster. So, like, doesn't matter a ton. Dropping down into the abilities. First one is called Skyguard. And again, these are all maxed. So speed 5. Gain +5 attack and attack an enemy. It sounds like you'll get to choose. And it says, if it's a pirate, gain immune while attacking this turn. So that's interesting. I'll go through the other two before talking about them. But the second is Master Tactician. Speed 2, cooldown 1. Deal 12 damage to an enemy or restore 12 health to an ally. It goes next. Sorry, I just stopped saying words because I want to talk about that now. But firing position is the third. Speed 6, cooldown 1. Deal 20 damage to all enemies that have already acted. How are we feeling about those?
These are interesting. I don't know how I feel about these yet. Like, the first one, you get some extra attack. The pirate thing just seems like an upside. So at least it's not like, it's not quite like a tech card per se in like standard, where you're like, well, if they don't have pirates, I don't want to run this. Because there's still, you still get attack and attack some enemies. But the Master Tactician one is really interesting. And you talking about chess, for me, like, that is the ability that I think of, like, okay, do you want to be using this? Are you using it on their thing to, like, screw up the order of what their mercs are doing? Or do you want to heal one of yours and then make your merc go next? Like, there's so many combos.
There is 100%. Like, people don't think of that as an option, especially new players, whether it's new to mercenaries, new to Hearthstone, new to card games. But like, if you're allowed to interact with your opponent's board, that is always an option. And I've seen that many times. I'm thinking all the way back to like season 1-2 with like Firebat and standard. But specifically here, right, this is speed 2, cooldown 1. So we were talking earlier about how many things do we have that can activate Valera's Sinister Strike at speed 3. Well, Master Tactician is speed 2. If your opponent might be sitting over there like, haha, my lowest minion's a protector, my lowest health minion's a protector. And you're like, haha, not anymore. I'm going to heal it for 12 and then do absolute buttload of damage to your caster. You know what I mean? Like, just for an example, like, there's, That was a phenomenal point to bring up. Like, you can interact with your board or your opponent's. Actually, you cannot, because it's to restore 12 health to an ally. But you can. I just did a whole lot of talking there for about no reason. I was really excited for a second. Deal 12 damage to an enemy. Still can help with the Sinister Strike if you
need to get something down really fast in order for the Lyra to attack it.
Yeah, and I feel like it's the just it goes next is really interesting, because if you wanted to use it, like you're saying, like on one of your own mercenaries, well, if you have a mercenary where you're using a really slow ability, well, forget about the speed of that ability, because you literally just made it go next. So that speed doesn't even, like, it's irrelevant.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if you, like, you know, like if you hit your Ragnaros and he's using Die Insect, theoretically it's a full clear. I should say potentially, not theoretically. Like, you could just wipe an entire board with that.
Yeah. I'm unsure, like, the last ability, it's a lot of damage, a mass AoE, but only to mercs that have already attacked. It definitely feels kind of like a cleanup type ability. I don't know. Overall, I'm feeling like Sky Admiral Rogers might be, like, more of a tech inclusion, or... Like, when we talked, I believe last week, about, like, the America's team comps, that the warbands that they had, and we mentioned how, like, they had the restrictions on how many of the warbands could have the mercenaries. I feel like this would be that last one that we talked about, where it's, like, this might be in, like, one comp, right? Like, you might put this into one of those, but he, like... It's probably not being used in, like, every single, you know, throwing them with everything.
Yeah, probably not. Because, like, even though there are a lot of versatility in these and ways you can use the attacks and stuff, it doesn't strike me as, well, I mean, I guess it strikes me as more balanced, right? You said it'd be maybe in one comp, maybe in two comps. You know, it gives you a little bit of flexibility, but at the same time, like you said, firing position... Firing position's cool, deals 20 to all enemies, but you have to make sure that Sky Admiral, sorry, all enemies that have already acted. You have to either make sure that Sky Admiral Rogers is still alive after they've all acted, or you're only dealing 20 to one or two, right? So, like, I don't know what the value is there. Because I guess technically 20 damage to two minions, two mercenaries, that's not terrible. It's not terrible, especially if one of them, you know, hits a critical hit. 20 to all of them is really awesome, especially if there's one or two critical hits. 20 to 1 for speed 6, I feel like you can do more damage for less, but that's all relative, right?
Well, what are the equipment? Does the equipment stuff make any of this better?
Well, for equipment, we have the Swashbuckling Sash. Skyguard gives an additional 5 attack. The Ship's Bell, Master Tactician, deals 4 more damage and makes the target go last. And the Scout's Spyglass. That's a passive. It says, after this merc attacks, deal 4 damage to all enemies. And it does critical damage to pirates. I don't know how much better that makes Sky Admiral Rogers. Those are definitely interesting equipments, though.
Yeah. I'm not, like, as excited about these as I was after we read through the Valera equipments. Yeah. But I guess... Again, like, if you're really looking for a very kind of specific, I want to alter what my opponent might be doing, especially, then that the Ship's Bell for the Master Tactician making the target go last could mean that that merc actually doesn't end up getting to do anything, or it really messes up, like, what your opponent's kind of combo is trying to do. But it still feels very, like, specific.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if the other two are feasible. Like, once you get the Ship Spell, I'm pretty sure you just keep that on, unless Pirate Comp just becomes overwhelmingly popular, right? Because dealing 4 damage to all enemies is cool. Like, that's cool. You know, you've done an AoE after attacking, but it only does critical damage to pirates. I guess on the flip side of that, though, it doesn't have to be a protector. So if their caster or their fighter is a pirate, it'll still do critical damage. But that's only 8. And then the Skyguard giving an additional 5 attack. Again, that's super cool if it's a pirate, which is why you're saying it's so, you know, specific. But the Master Tactician, since it makes the target go last, is that only when it's dealing damage? Because you can restore health to an ally, right? So does it, if you restore health, it goes first, and then if you're dealing damage, it goes last? Or if you have the Ship's Bell, either way makes the target go last. I don't know. I mean, I don't think we can know, but...
I feel like, to me, it reads that it just would deal, like, deal 16 damage to an enemy or restore 12 health, and the target goes last. So I feel like either way, it's making whatever you're targeting go last, but I don't know. Like you said, like, I haven't gotten this leveled up and actually tested out yet, so I don't know. But either way, it still just kind of feels meh, feels kind of situational just overall. And I'm not really sure if people are really going to want to be playing this, but I mean, as a caster dealing some damage, it's fine.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's fine. It's not horrible. It's not crazy good.
Yes.
Cool. We got two more. The artwork for the next one is probably my favorite of the four new mercenaries. Yes. Trigor the Lasher, a rare protector with the beast tag. And if you just go into battle.net and go into the patch notes and look at these super, super cute artworks. I love them. I love all of them, especially the baby one. Max stats for the protector is a 1080. So 80, good health for protector. 10's a little low on attack. Let me get to these abilities and see what we've got here. Frenzied attack, speed 7. Attack an enemy. If this took damage this turn, deal 12 damage to a random adjacent enemy. Okay, I like that. Backlash, speed 1. Oof, we're getting really quick now. The next time an enemy damages an adjacent ally this turn, gain +5 attack and deal this merc's attack to them. Regrow heads, speed 4 with a cooldown of 1. This takes critical damage this turn. At the end of next turn, restore this merc to full health. What?
Yeah, I love the first two abilities. The third one, I don't know yet. Like, it feels very risky to give it critical attack to hope that it's still alive through, I guess, potentially two more full rounds of attacks.
Yeah, I don't... Oh, restore 12 health to an ally. This makes the target go last. Oh, I see it. I see the combo. You see the combo? Am I crazy? I see the combo. That's has to be what they intended there, yeah?
Okay, what? Explain it.
Sky Admiral Rogers, we were just talking about the ship's bell, swapping it from making the target go first to making the target go last. So you can deal 12 to an enemy or restore 12 health to an ally. So if you restore 12 health to Trigor while you have the ship's bell and it makes the target go last, it does not take critical damage from everything that turn, only casters.
True. Okay.
I don't know if it's like the best combo ever, you know, but like that's I'm looking at it, I'm like, that's the only thing I can think of that just makes it super good. Because otherwise, people are just going to see that and be like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to throw literally everything I have at Tricor. Like, just screw everything else. I'm going to throw everything I have at it. And it's like, it's a 33% chance that you used regrow heads. But if you did use regrow heads, Tricor's taking double damage from everything. If you didn't, Tricor's still getting pummeled by all three mercenaries. So that's interesting. Regrow heads, that's probably the most interesting thing I've seen.
Yeah, it really is. And I'm not sure, maybe this is one that actually is a lot more powerful than what it seems. And it's just a matter of, like, if you play it well, you know, like some of those decks where you see somebody post it and they're like, I had these insane results with this deck. And you look at it, and you're like, how? But then when you watch them play it, you're like, wow, this is actually working. Like,
yeah,
I feel like that's regrow heads to me. I'm looking at it going, okay, but why? But maybe I'm missing something, and maybe it's like, I mean, a speed 4, if they're playing something really fast, then this is probably going towards the end anyways. Maybe the Trigor isn't like the most threatening thing on the board, so they're not even targeting it. I mean, it's a protector, so you're just going on the hope that, hey, you're kind of relying on that high health and you want to keep it as healthy as possible. So I don't know. I like the other abilities more.
I do too. I'm having some thoughts, but I'm gonna run through these equipment real quick before I actually have official thoughts. The first one is called Infused Amber. So your frenzied attack deals 4 more damage. That's a pretty good equipment. Razor Claw, Backlash gives an additional +4 attack, and then Regenerative Scales, Regrow Heads, restores 16 health the turn that it's cast. Okay. I'm seeing synergies at least now with itself.
Yeah. So I guess maybe the regrow heads is one that you actually want the equipment piece for, and you're using it with that.
There's also some cool things you can do with, like, Fairy Dragon, you know, and, like, while you can't guarantee that Fairy Dragon will hit Trigor, you could buff Trigor while Trigor's on the bench, give it even more health. You could also play Trigor potentially, I'm not sure how the comp would look, with Tyrion, right? Buffing everything, and now your Trigor's, like, what would that be, like, 1484 or something like that? It's not a huge buff, but it's still a buff. Obviously, this is just preliminary thoughts that I'm kind of trying to force it into play. But yeah, regrow heads, that'll make you think. Two heads is better than one. And we're coming up with nothing. So no, it looks like in one of the portraits. Oh, obviously it's Trigor. Okay, that makes sense. I was gonna say it starts off with one head and then like goes to three heads. And, like, so that's cool. Like in the artwork that like baby has one head. The like teenage years, it's got its second head, and then the adult Trigor has got all three ferocious heads. I like the attention to detail there. That's super.
Oh yeah, it's fantastic. I did have a shout out to Zerotio in my stream today. He was saying he wonders if this is going to work with like potentially a beast style comp, where you can try to set it up. If you have like Mukla with Mukla's big brother, right, that starts with a taunt on the board, and then you have the Trigor set up next to the taunt, you can use that backlash where your opponent has to attack into that Mukla's big brother, and then all of a sudden the backlash triggers because they attacked an adjacent ally. This gets some attack and deals that damage. I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. For sure. It kind of takes Trigor out of the, like, middle. Because, well, actually, does Mukla's big brother appear right when you toss Mukla onto the board? Or does it appear, like, when you summon something, like, to the right of Mukla? If that makes sense.
I feel like I don't know. Because every time I see it, it's always, like, all the way to the right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that's because of the placement.
I guess if you put Mukla on the left, put Trigor in the middle, and then your third mercenary on the right, and then Mukla's big brother. I guess if it pops out on the far right, then you've just screwed up. But if it pops out to the right of Mukla, I'll just have to try this. I will come back with results.
Yeah. But I like the fact that it's gaining that attack and then dealing it. It's not actually attacking and taking damage. So it's, I guess it's making placement a little bit more relevant, which is cool.
Yeah, because placement's super important in pretty much every other game mode. And it has been occasionally in mercenaries where, like, you know, you like heal adjacent minions or mercenaries, you need that one in the middle. But other than that, there's not a ton of placement being important. So this one does definitely add that aspect.
Yes. Well, those are the three that are already out. So if you're listening to this episode, you can open these in packs, all of that. You can craft these. They are in the game. But again, the one that is coming out next week on Tuesday the 7th, that again, go into when you first launch the expansion, you can go to the reward track and you will automatically get for free Vanessa Van Cleef. You don't even have to buy the Tavern Pass stuff. It's free. You'll get Vanessa Van Cleef, and she is an epic protector. So she's the red. She's a pirate. And maxed stats, she's going to be a 10 attack, 75 health. And she has abilities Burgle Barrage, which, again, these are all maxed. Speed 7, attack an enemy, combo, steal 5 attack from them. Makeshift Weaponry, which is a speed 3. Spend all stolen attack to deal that much damage to all enemies. And then Shifting Satchel, speed 5, cooldown 1, deal 16 damage to an enemy, give +1 cooldown to an ability they didn't use this turn. It's so piratey. I love it.
Steal everything.
It's so great. I'm ready to play her.
Yeah, this one's gonna be super fun. That's probably, I don't want to say that's probably why Sky Admiral Rogers is in there, but if Vanessa Van Cleef becomes as popular as it sounds like she will, Sky Admiral Rogers might very well be exactly the tech that you said. That being said, I'm glad that it only steals 5 attack. I think it's cool that it steals it, though, right? It steals it. It can't have it back. That's awesome, right? You run that into a Cariel, it immediately now is only like +1 attack from that taunt that you're going to give it turn 1. And steel means that it buffs Vanessa too, right? So now it's a 1575. Now it's a 2075. Now just on and on.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a speed 7, so the combo is very likely to go off because you can pretty easily find other abilities that are faster than a speed 7.
Yeah. Spend all stolen attack and deal that much damage to all enemies. That one's cool. It does, you know, require you to have stolen a decent amount to do a large chunk of damage. Since you're doing it to all, you guarantee if there's any fighters that you get that critical hit. So that's very nice.
Yeah, and I mean, it makes that attack go away because you're spending the stolen attack.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, it's like, it's still, you're stealing attack from the enemy mercenaries and then dealing damage to all of them with that attack.
Yeah, I feel like makeshift weaponry is like not necessarily a last breath type attack, you know, but like, you have 11 health left. You know Vanessa Van Cleef is going down this next turn. You use makeshift weaponry at speed 3 or maybe even faster, depending on what your comp is. Deal 10, deal 15, potentially 30 if it's, you know, doubled. And then, like, Vanessa goes down. But you've done your last-ditch effort to wipe some mercenaries off their board.
Yeah. I don't know. I think she sounds pretty cool. Let me run through this equipment as well here. So, again, all maxed. Dread Blades. Burgle Barrage is 4 faster and always combos. Okay. Extra pockets. After using makeshift weaponry, this merc keeps up to 5 attack. And then Blade Catcher, passive. Whenever this merc is attacked, steal 4 attack from the attacker. I feel like there's uses for all of those.
Those are very well done. That's going to be like personal preference and or meta deciding, I think, what needs to be used.
Yeah.
Burgle Barrage is 4 faster and always combos? Always combos?
Right. You don't even have to worry about playing stuff that you don't even have to think about your speed orders.
Yeah, who cares? You. 3 speed attack an enemy, give me 5 right now. Extra pockets is fine. It's not like insane though, right? Like if you could use extra pockets and Blade Catcher, that would be insane. I mean, that'd be the definition of OP.
Oh yeah. But
extra pockets as is. I'm surprised that it says up to 5 attack since it's always, well, I guess if you steal attack, like if something was down to like 4 attack and you steal 4, then it might not be in all increments of 5. That's what I was thinking though. I was like, if you're stealing always increments of 5, why does it say up to 5? But I guess you could possibly steal less than 5 if they don't have 5 attack.
Well, and I think you can steal, like if you have the extra pockets equipment, but you've done a couple of Burgle Barrages without using, you know, you haven't done makeshift weaponry to like spend it yet. Then you use makeshift weaponry, like let's say you've stolen 10 or 15 attack and somehow Vanessa is like still alive at this point because I feel like she'd be dead.
Yeah.
But if you've stolen 10 or 15 attack, then you use the makeshift weaponry. It will spend that 10 or 15, but you'll get to keep 5 of it. So I think there's 2 cases, like where there's less than the 5, like you said, but potentially if you're able to steal more, then use the weapons, you get to keep some of it.
Yeah. So I guess so. Technically, you could use, if you needed to, makeshift weaponry twice in a row, because you would still have some stolen attack after that. So that's cool.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. All these AoE effects, like, they are pretty fast, but they don't seem super powerful, and that they're a little bit more reliant, right? Because this one, like, you're not just going to use makeshift weaponry when you haven't stolen any attack. So it almost feels like you're kind of really letting your opponent know what your plan is when you're doing that.
Yeah, I'd say almost 100% you're letting him know what the plan is, right? But it might, I don't know, it probably won't stray people away from the 2-2-2 protector fighter caster comps. Like if I, you know, if I'm running into Vanessa and I'm like every time, right? And then you just want to
forced to make sure that there's no critical hits. Use like all protectors and casters, no fighters. I don't know. That's a bit of a reach, but that's all I can think of in like ways that it might change the meta with all the AoEs if you're trying to specifically avoid one mercenary's AoE.
Yeah. Well, that is all of the mercenaries. They're also adding 4 new bounties and bosses. Those are added in. They are added into kind of the top end, the high end of Black Rock Mountain. So if you have been keeping up every time that they put out new bounties, you'll have 4 new ones now that you can play. And I think you were talking about there's another one of them has some coins. What
were you mentioning earlier? So I actually am not fully up to date on my bounties, sadly. So I cannot see what these most recent 4 have as rewards. I thought I could. I was on the wrong page.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like it won't show me the chest yet. It just shows me, gotcha. Like what the bounty is and who the boss is.
Well, yeah. I'm guessing that they include coins for some of these new the new mercenaries. That's kind of how it seems like they've been doing it. So, you know, if you're looking for coins for these new ones, then you're probably going to have to beat the newest bounties, and then you'll be able to get kind of a good grind point for those mercenaries, for those coins. Do you want to talk about the couple bundles?
Standard bundles or mercenary bundles? Hold on, let me find my game. Or all the bundles.
The mercenaries bundles. Because I feel like that's something that we've talked a lot about on the show before, and there's some, at least what I'm seeing in my shop, there is some variety.
Yeah, there was. I tend to stay in the standard shop more, but I did click on the ones of the mercenaries, and so the ones that are specifically for mercenaries are quite interesting, to say the least. So right now, the first, the top one, limited time bundle, is the Valera. The Valera bundle. So you get Valera, you get 150 Valera coins, you get 10 packs, $20. Value wise, I think that's pretty good. I don't know that I'll get it, but I think if you were really looking forward to the Valera, it wouldn't really feel like a gouge, especially since you get those extra 150 coins. I'm not sure if these are all the same for everyone, because I know sometimes, right, they'd sell like a legendary, but it'd be different legendaries for different people. The legendary coin purse for $9.99 gives you 300 legendary coins for 3 different mercenaries. I think that's pretty worth it too, but not being able to choose which mercenaries they go to is kind of a little bit of a bummer for me. I don't know. Feel free to put, you know, your input in on that, but like, especially if I'm a person that already has most of my legendaries maxed, or all of my legendaries. Well, if I have all of them maxed, I'm not buying coins. But say I need like 2 legendaries max, right, and the 300 coins I get are all for mercenaries that are already maxed, I feel bad.
Yeah, I agree. It looks like they do have an option for choosing a mercenary one. At least I see one. I see a Ragnaros coins for 300. It's an epic, but 300 Ragnaros coins specifically for $10, which is like, I think if I'm going that route, I'd rather just get the legendary ones.
Yeah, so I see Karen.
Oh no, Ragnaros is coins. Legendary, right?
Yeah, Rag is legendary.
Okay.
I have just 300 the Karen coins for $5.
Huh, okay, so that must be one of those like varying ones then. Okay.
Interesting. Yeah. And then like next to that, I have the Jaina Mercenary Mega Bundle for $30, 20 packs, 1 Jaina, and then 150 Jaina coins is what I have on the left side.
How many packs?
20.
Okay, for $30. Yeah, I have a Thrall Portrait Mega Bundle.
Okay.
So mine's Thrall, I guess, instead of Jaina.
So I guess, it's cool that we're, like, looking at these and talking about them, but it's like, I can't really tell people what they should get because I don't know what they're going to have in their shop.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Which, I guess, is one, just a reminder, like, if you are interested in getting bundles or looking, like, just, you know, every couple of days or something, I would just check in on the shop, see if there's something specifically. If you are also somebody who's looking for very certain, you know, mercenaries, Like, I know Brian O'Brien really wanted Jaina. You know, Sidisi was looking for, like, the hunter beast stuff, right? So if you are looking for certain ones, then check the shop. It might be in there if you are able or wanting to spend, you know, a little bit of cash. But they do have some good deals. Like, I also see the Eudora mercenary bundle for, I see it's Eudora 10 packs for $10.
That's, Oh, I don't know. I do not have that one. Do you also have the Valyra, like the legendary limited time one at the top?
Yeah.
Okay, so we all have that one. Yeah, my other bundle is the Anduin Portrait bundle for 20 packs in Anduin Portrait for $25.
Huh. I wonder if it's based on like our spending too. You know, like maybe you've spent a little less than I have.
Mm-hmm.
So they're offering you like less things, but it's less money. And me being somewhat of a whale because I do this for for content for my living, I've spent a little more. So they're like, hey, look at this bundle that you could get $5 more than what he's paying.
But you'll take it, won't you? I bet you will.
Maybe. That's I haven't funny. Decided.
Yeah. Well, the Karen coin feels bad because it says 500 or not 500. Gosh darn it. $5 for 300. Whereas the legendary coin purse is essentially what, $3 and change for each one instead of $5. So it's like, if you give me $2 more, you can choose which one you get. And I'm like, oh, that's mean.
Which is so crazy because my 300 rag coins is $10. So it's like for that, I'm like, no.
Yeah. I'm like, is it because rag is popular or I don't know. I don't know what that would be. But the Valyra that we seem to both have, that bundle is value-wise worth it. And if you want to guarantee Valyra, I would say that that's a good bundle to grab.
And, you know, I feel like the things, and one reason we also talk about this, right, is because we are trying to share our opinions and we feel like we have opinions that reflect a lot of the community. Well, in a little bit here, we'll share places where you can give us more of your feedback as well if you're looking for something, if you have ideas. But one thing that, you know, I feel like was really heard from this podcast, I'm sure elsewhere as well, but Simba, what is this first bug fix that we have here that relates to mercenaries? Because I feel like this is something that you were really looking for from our very first episode on.
From the first episode, I didn't even realize it was that long ago. Oh man, bug fix number one. Players will now be able to see their mercenaries party while selecting bounty treasures. I am ecstatic about that one. That one was so big for me because I would get into the screen, right? And I'd be like, I mean, even now after playing, like, I still don't have literally every single thing about all of my mercenaries memorized at all times, right? That just seems like a waste of brain space when I'll see them when I play them. So to be able to see them, while I'm selecting bounty treasures is awesome. I think I will make different and definitely more informed decisions about how my run's going to go, how I want to finish my run, what kind of treasures I want to grab. Because I'll be able to look through my party and say, oh, this works with this, or oh, this also works with this, or I was going to choose this, but based on my mercenaries that have died, I don't actually have any holy damage anymore, so that it seemed good, but it's actually bad. It's really helpful. I know it's really small, but like I'm super thankful that they added that.
Oh, yeah, me too. I mean, even for like the ones where, like you said, a certain damage something, you know, or like the ones that... if I really want to pick all Horde characters or Alliance characters or all of my blood elves or, you know, elves or something or whatever. And I'm like, I don't remember. I just jumped into this. I don't remember what I have in this party. This is my, you know, I just did one fight. I don't really remember, like, what the heck. And now I can look and be like, oh, yeah, okay, I've only got, like, two of those. That might not really be worth picking for two mercenaries for the buff. Yeah. Incredibly useful.
100%. Oh man, the only thing that I'm if I want to go a little bit deeper into this, one thing that I'm hoping eventually gets added is when you like mouse over mercenaries, you will be able to see what task that they are on. And I'm sure I've seen that personally other places where like I want to know what task I'm on without having to search through. And so when you get to the mysterious stranger, Seeing is technically, I believe, that counts as a treasure. You'll be able to see your mercenary party. Since you can see your mercenary party now, if I could mouse over them and see which task I was on, I would know potentially. I might choose a different task, or I should say a different mercenary to obtain their task. If I know, you know, oh, I'm closer to number 18, or oh, I haven't even got number 7. Like, let me pick up that one.
Yes. Yes, completely agreed. And you're definitely not alone there. I think a lot of people really want to be able to see and remember what tasks they're on. Even just remembering like what tasks you have when you're going into bounties, or like what ability am I supposed to use for these tasks and stuff. There is a little bit of that kind of covered in the mercenaries segment, I guess, of the HS deck tracker, if you use that, like the Hearthstone deck tracker. But yeah, it doesn't specifically show like what task each mercenary is on or what you've completed for a mercenary. So yeah, that would definitely be nice. But this is something else that we talked about very early on, and they've finally been able to put this in. But several more daily quests can now be completed in mercenaries, including the challenge a friend, spectate, and the play a certain number of a type of minion quests. So all of those quests have been added in. You can complete those in mercenaries. Yay! And there's more daily and weekly quests, maybe added or reworked for future patches. So fantastic. Now, like, when I go make coffee and I spectate somebody and I have that, I can spectate them playing mercs and I don't even have to worry about it.
Yeah, that's a cool one. It's one I hadn't thought of personally. So that's a really nice that they add that. I wonder, I assume that's going to work for other than PvP, right? If you're spectating them, and will it be like they have to complete a whole bounty or just like one fight? Either way, it's nice.
Yeah, I would imagine it's probably just one fight, but because like the whole bounty thing would be crazy.
Yeah, I was like, go ahead and sit here. Go ahead, sit here for as long as the standard game. Like,
right. But yeah, that's we kind of jammed a lot into this episode. There feels like, even though it seems like the news for everything else was much bigger, there was still a decent chunk of news here, but we definitely wanted to go over all of this, talk about everything and kind of cover all of this that's relevant, because these things, you know, if you don't know that those changes happened, you know, you might not be making the same decisions as you would if you knew. So hopefully that helps.
Yeah, I think it does. At least for me. I will now complete more bounties so that I can see the wonderful satchels.
Yes. Oh, that the graphic looks so good. I love it so much. All right. And I'm gonna dream about satchel plushy pillow tonight.
I'm one ready. Trog. One trog sitting right next to my stream station.
Yes. Okay. Anything else before we close it out for today?
Drink your water, be nice to people, stay in your own lane, and have a phenomenal rest of your week.
Love it. I know. I'm going to refill my water cup right after we're done.
Yo.
Get more water myself. Well, you know, if you have any other suggestions for the show, things you'd like to see in Mercenaries, any of the above, then please check us out on all of our social medias. If you're wanting to listen to the show, check it out on YouTube, everywhere that you can find audio podcasts, and you can contact us on Twitter at SpiritHealerPod. Give us an email at SpiritHealerPodcast@gmail.com and join in our discussions in our Discord. You can find that on our Twitter page as well. And we would like to thank Purple Cat for the use of the amazing music that we use for the show. And to find more from each of us, you can find me on Twitter at DonnieDK, that's DawnieDK, on Twitch and YouTube at DragonWriter, and talking all things standard Hearthstone over at the Dr3HS podcast. And he is not here today, but we'll still plug Cinder's stuff. You can find him on Twitter at Cinder Ascendant, talking all the things. And where can we find more from you, Simba?
More from Simba at SimbaTV_SIIMBA TV, little lowercase line on pretty much everything. Take the line away and just do Simba TV for YouTube, and come hang out with us there. Definitely talk to us on Twitter. DMs are open, Discords are open. We're on Twitch often. Don literally does this for work. So come hang out. It's a good time always. We're always looking for suggestions and good conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've definitely been ramping up your content as well. So excited for that. If you want to check that out, again, go check out all of the things that we do. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you for choosing us as your resting place of choice.